everybody's feeling good and everything's going your way. If it's not, sorry about that. But that's the way it goes sometimes. We appreciate everybody being here. We've got a good many that are out visiting a little bit during the summer. That's always something that you deal with. But we hope that everyone will be safe and have a good time and enjoy themselves. But we do appreciate you being here today and want you to know that. If there's anything we can do for you or any way we can help you, then just let us know, because we want to try to help as many people as we can. Do as much good as possible in this. Last Sunday night, we looked at a lesson of why the bad things happen to good people. And I got to thinking, why don't we just switch that thing around for Sunday morning and say, why do good things happen to, not good things happen, but why do good things happen to bad people? And we know that bad things happen to good people, but don't sometimes you just feel like those people need to be punished that are doing bad? They need to be dealt with that are doing things that are wrong. And I think it's something that we really do need to look at and we need to think about just a little bit. Because we don't live in a world that's fair. Sometimes our children, they say, well, this is not fair. Well, you know, I hope you tell yours like I did mine and still do. That's the world. Sometimes things are not fair. It's not fair for a young mother who has two small children to have breast cancer, to go through all those surgeries, all those treatments, and then die leaving young children. That's not fair. And some people, when something like that happens, they question God. Where's God at? God's the same place He's always been. Maybe it's a father who's going to work one morning. He's got three little children, and they're just barely getting by, he and his wife. And somebody pulls out in front of him, and he hits them, and he dies. Now, what's fair about that? Where's God at in that? Where is He when those good people have bad things to come on them? But why is God so good to bad people? I mean, you just think about it. How much have you seen people that live their lives? Job was reading, you're hearing a while ago, where Job is saying, look at all these people that are bad. Look how they live their lives. Look at how God treats them. They have all the money they want. Their families are well. They live to a ripe old age. Their children are happy. And they go to the grave at an old age. And you say, that guy was a scoundrel. He sold drugs for a living. Why did he live so long? And this other person over here, they didn't live that long. I think it's something that we do need to think about. Because in the back of our minds, we're thinking, this is not right. It's not fair. Where's God at? And some people literally turn away from God because they think that God is allowing this to happen. You say, well, He doesn't do anything about it. God has His time. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. He has His time when He will punish those things that need to be punished. But we need to realize that God doesn't just pay now. That sometimes the payment is a little bit later. And we need to understand that. But lest you think that we're the only ones that have asked that question, we're certainly not the only ones that have asked that question. I want you to see that other people have asked it too. We mentioned Job already. And Job said, why do these people prosper? Why do these people have these things? Why are their family in such good shape? And we can go on down and see that. Look at Solomon. Turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15. If you want to. If you don't, that's okay. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15, Solomon asked this question. There is a just man who perished in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Now, what Solomon is saying is the same question. He's saying, why is it that it seems that the righteous suffer so much and the unrighteous, they get to do whatever they want to? And it causes us to have just a little rub in there. We don't like it. So Solomon asked that question. Job asked the question. One of the oldest books that we really, most Jewish people consider Job is one of the oldest books around, about 4,000 years old. And then Solomon asked that question. But not only Solomon, look at Jeremiah 21 and verse 1. And you may want to mark these passages to read them from time to time and understand you're not the only one asking this question. Jeremiah, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk to you about your judgment. Let me talk to you, God, about how you handle your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Jeremiah asked the question. So is it bad that I ask that question too? Why do the unrighteous people, why do people that are not trying to live right, why do they have all this stuff? Why are they doing so well? And here we're trying to live right, we're trying to do what's right, but it seems like everything just keeps caving in and caving in and caving in. And you want to look up at God and say, God, why? Well, that's what we want to look at today. That's what we want to consider today. And I think that's a question that we need to ask our own selves. Look at this. We have problems. And we live in a world where there are problems. And we've got to deal with those things. Now, these problems come on good people. But the good things come on those that are not good, that are not living right. We want to understand this, and let's just tell the truth, okay? We want those people punished. And basically, we want to be able to help in that. We want them to have to suffer like good people have to suffer. Well, let me tell you something. They may and we may not know it. But they will and we can know it. If they don't change their ways, it can happen. In Romans 12 and verse 19, listen to this. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Don't take vengeance on your own. Don't do that. But rather give place to the wrath. Put it where it needs to be. Don't do it yourself. Put it where it needs to be. All right? For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, verse 20 there, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. You see, we as Christians can get ourselves into trouble because we're so concerned about what other people are doing and we want to punish them and we want them to pay for what they've done in the wrong and we want to be the ones that do it. Let me tell you something. Forget about all that stuff. Here, the Roman writer, Paul, is trying to tell us what you need to do is understand you need to keep doing good no matter what happens. You need to keep doing good because you're a good person. You're trying to live right and do right, so continue to try to live right and do right and don't do wrong. Wrath belongs to God. Punishment belongs to God. He did not elect me to punish anybody. And He didn't elect you to punish anybody either. Now, lets you think, well, you know, we go to court and we have to decide there. That's a part of it. That's a part of the government, and we're a part of the government. We do that. But this is talking about trying to punish people for the wrongs that they do that we may see that they may never go to jail for. We want to do that. We want to punish them. We want them to have to pay for what they've done. Are we really jealous of what these people are doing and how they're living and how they're getting by with these things? And basically, there's a little bit of us that wants to do it too. We want to cheat a little bit ourselves. We want to say what we want to say without worrying about how it sounds to anybody and just tell people what we think about them. We want to do that, but we can't. We're Christians, and we know we shouldn't do it. And so we don't do it. We don't live that way. This may be part of the problem we have dealing with people that are wrong, dealing with people that are not living right. What we've got to do is to realize what our responsibility is. And it is to follow God's will. It is not to punish. It is to follow the will of God. It is not to worry about what who's blessed today and who's not blessed today. It is ours to do the will of God. You said that just doesn't fit in us. That's called fleshliness. And we need to get that away from us. That should not be a part of us. Why does God not punish those people? Why didn't he do it now? Why does he wait until that time of judgment when everybody's going to be standing there and everybody's going to be giving account? Look at Matthew 13, if you would. Matthew 13 and verse 24. The writer here is talking, Jesus is giving a parable to people. And he wants people to understand this important thing. Okay. I'm going to get this thing one of these days. Jesus is asking, giving a parable here. So let the meaning of this story about the farmer. Is that right? Did I get the right one? 13:24. I got the one above it. Sorry about that. And what is the seed that fell among the thorns? Well, I forget that. I can't even find it now. My Bible just lost Matthew 13. I can't see it, so what difference does it make? In Matthew 13, starting with verse 24 through 30, it talks there about the seed. It talks about the seed that is there. And Jesus is trying to help people to understand this idea of righteousness. And he says, here's a farmer that goes out to plant his seed. And he puts his seed out. And he's got them all planted. And then at night, an enemy comes and throws the tares in among that. Now, the tares were something that looked just exactly like the wheat when it started growing up. But then when it got up, you could see by the head of it that it wasn't a wheat. And so at that time, the servants came in and said, Master, did you get the right kind of seed? Yes, I did. Well, what happened? An enemy came in. And he threw this among that. What's that? That's the devil. He's trying to give an interpretation there. And he threw that there. They said, Lord, do you want us to go pull up those weeds now and get them out of there, the tares now? He said, no, don't do that. Now listen, this is a point I want to make. He said, don't do that because if you do that, you're going to disturb the wheat. You're going to trouble the wheat. I'm going to tell you something. The reason God doesn't punish people today is because of the righteous people. The righteous people that would have to suffer because of that. And you say, wait a minute, how are the righteous people going to suffer? There'd be a lot of hurt, a lot of trouble. And so here, what the Lord is trying to say is there's a time for this. That's what he wants them to understand. There's a time. And he said that goes on and finishes this up. Well, there's a time when the harvest is going to be made. And what they would do is they gathered the wheat sometime, and they gathered it, and so ladies were there, and ladies were to go through that and pick out this. Now, some people would send those fellows out there and they'd pick the bad weeds out and throw them away. And he said here that they were burned up. But they saved the other. There was a time of dividing. It wasn't at that time. Let other people be disturbed, those righteous people. He said, don't let that happen. That's the reason God's not doing it now. But that's not the only reason. In Genesis 15 and verses 12 through 16, he gives the reason that the promised land was not given to the children of Israel. He talks to them. Now, usually we say that the reason the children of Israel were not able to go into the promised land was because of their sin, and that's true. But there are also residual things here. In this passage, he says that the Amorites have not reached their full measure of sin yet. They hadn't gone so far as they need to be judged in that way. Now, a little bit later, the Amorites would be judged because they'd start sacrificing their own children. And God would say, you're out of here now. And the children of Israel will go in and take their land. He's saying it's not time yet. It's not time to punish those people that are doing those things that are wrong. Now, listen to 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. All right, there's one thing you got to remember. That with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. What's that saying? is saying that God has His time. His time is not your time. God is not on a watch to where He's looking at saying, okay, this needs to happen at this time, this needs to happen at that time. But God's saying it'll happen when it needs to happen. So what we do is we leave this in God's hands. We leave this for God to be able to do that. God has His times. And God will punish when it is time. When it is His time, not when it's our time. We have to comprehend that. God is good to everybody. Now this is something we may have a problem with, but we need to understand God helps people that are bad too. He helps them and He gives them things that they should turn and thank God for. In Matthew 5, verse 45, God makes His sun to rise on the just and on the unjust, on the good and on the bad. He sends His rain on the good and on the bad. And for if you love those who love you, what good is that? He's saying you need to learn to love. He's showing these people an example of what love should be. What is that? We help people that are against us. We help people that don't love us. We treat people right that don't deserve it. We do that because of who we are. God does that. It just said that God sent His sunshine, His rain on those people that are there. And then He goes on to say, what if you mistreat the tax collectors? Is that okay? They're doing wrong? No. That's not the way you need to live your life. That's not what you need to do. If you greet only your brethren, what difference is that than the world? If you're only good to those that are Christians, is that the same way the world's living? And that's not the way we need to live our lives. That's not the way we need to conduct ourselves. We need to conduct ourselves as those people that we're going to do what's right no matter what other people do. He goes on to say here, the reason for this, a part of this, is so that you can help them to understand who God is and how God is and how you should be living. Therefore, you should be perfect, complete, mature, just like your Father is. You act like your Father. What does He do? He sends His sunshine, He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. Because you get rain does not mean that you're righteous. Because you're able to rejoice in the sun does not mean that God's just giving you that alone because of how good you are. What He's trying to do is to help us to see God is trying to bless everybody. He can't. There is no way that people can look and say, God, I don't deserve this. Because God is giving people everything He can. He's helping the unrighteous to be blessed in their lives. And how can they look at God and say, God, it's your fault. God, look what you do to me. But we as Christians do that, and we shouldn't. Now, the idea here of punishing those people that are unrighteous now, do you really want that to happen? Do you really want God to punish the unrighteous? Remember Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What if God punished all the righteous people today? What if He said, okay, this is the day that everybody's going to be judged? Where would you be? Where would you be in your life? Well, I hope I'd be right. Yeah. That's giving us an encouragement to live right. But do we really want to be everything to be judged today? Do we really want God to deal with sin right now if He dealt with us? Look at Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrated. God has shown His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that God giving the good things to bad people? Isn't that God giving the good things of heaven and this earth to those people that are here, that are on this earth, that are doing wrong? Who is that? All of mankind. You see, God has blessed us when we didn't deserve it. Why should we look and say, well, they don't deserve to be blessed by God? We were. We are. We continue to be. So we should be those people that recognize how wonderful it is that God's waiting about His judgment. that God's giving people time and opportunity. We are supposed to help people to understand the gospel. God is giving people time to obey the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, go teach people all over the world. He's giving people an opportunity, one more chance, one more time to change their life. There'll be a time when God will say no more. That's his business, not mine, not yours. There will be a time when every sin is going to be paid for. But it's not my time and your time to decide. It's God's time. It's not within my purview to decide when they're punished and how they're punished. God does that. I've got to treat people right. I've got to live right. In Ecclesiastes 33 and verse 8, it says to warn the wicked man of his wicked way and you deliver your soul. But if we don't, our soul's going to have to give an account for it. This is our job, is to warn the wicked man. It is God's job to punish. Don't take on God's job. Don't take on God's work. Let God handle his part. Let us handle our part. My part is to live a righteous kind of life. It is to live a life of service to God. It is not for me to decide what's right or what's wrong in other people's lives. It'd be better if I dealt with my life and the sins in my life than look at other people. Don't worry about those people that are getting by with it. Don't worry that you might look and see and here's a person that maybe they push drugs for a living. And they drive around in a new car. They have all the money in the world. And they may look like they don't have any cares at all. That everything's going good for them. Don't look at today. But look at the future. Look at the time before God when every knee will bow. Every person will be there. That's when everything's going to be made right. And there may be those that we might think are unrighteous that God might say are righteous. Kind of like a story I heard the other day. This fellow said, well, you know, I had this dream the other night that I went to heaven. And I looked around and saw some people and my mouth just flew open because I thought, they'll never make it here. He said, I looked at some people and their mouth was open because they didn't think I was going to make it either. Let's not try to judge other people. Let's try to help other people. Let's try to help ourselves to be the kind of people we need to be to show the right kind of example to the people of the world. If you're here today and sin's in your life, we want to help you get rid of it. Not because we're any better, not because we're any greater, not because we're any less sinful than you, but because God says encourage people to follow His way. Encourage people to repent of their sins. And you can do that for us too. So if you're here and you're a Christian, make your life right. If you're here and you're not a Christian, please obey the gospel. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And it's not just as we studied in Bible class this morning, saying, Lord, Lord, that's not enough. But it's when we are willing to give our life to God, even in a simple thing like baptism. Whatever your need might be, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.